Bibles, would you please, and turn to Proverbs 16:9. Proverbs 16:9. And this is a verse that probably has meant more to me. It's one of several verses like it have meant more to me over the year, these recent years than any other time. Maybe it's because I'm older. I don't know, but I hope that the Lord might speak to your heart somehow this morning as we look at this one verse and some passages surrounding it in the Scriptures. The verse is very simple, isn't it? In the NIV it says, "In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps." Look up at 16 verse 3. You've heard it before. "Commit to the Lord, whatever you do, and your plans will succeed." 16 verse 1, "To man belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue." The Lord works out, verse 4, everything for his own ends, even the wicked for the day of disaster. Heavenly Father, I pray that my words would be your words. I pray that your Holy Spirit would take maybe something I've not even said and impress it upon someone's heart here today, that we might be closer to your word as we live and might be pleasing to you. In Christ's name, his people said,
amen. Amen.
Let me ask you, how many of you in some way, this is a quick question now, you haven't thought about it, but in any way, shape, or form, how many of you are surprised in some way today? Anyone at all surprised in any way? Okay, I won't ask you what the surprise, a few of you are surprised? Okay, that's good. How many of you are surprised if you're married to still be sitting next to the one you married? Oh, so many of you. Okay, see? More of you are surprised than you thought about that one, all right? How many of you are surprised at how many children you have? Okay, how many of you are surprised how many grandchildren you have? All right? How many of you are surprised that you're working where you're working? Really, you're surprised? Okay. Think about it. The Christian life and life itself is often just a bunch of surprises when you think about it. It's like one surprise after another along the way. And this verse reminds us of some of the critical surprises that are in store for those who love the Lord. Now, I like surprises. My wife likes surprises, too. She likes certain kinds of surprises. She likes surprises like roses on her birthday. She doesn't like surprises like when I jump out in the dark and scare her. She doesn't like those kind of surprises. You think about it, jokes are really all about surprises, aren't they? Isn't what makes you laugh is that you've been surprised? The other day, one of my grandkids said, "Grandpa, what's black and white and red all over?" Of course, I knew the answer to that. "Newspaper." "No, Grandpa." So we had some more options as to what the answer to that question was. Any of you kids know the answer that I'm thinking of? What's black and white and red all over? Anyone know? Huh? It's a zebra with a sunburn. So we had a little chuckle over that. Isn't that what surprise is? That's not what jokes are. They're surprises. And, you know, someone says, "Knock, knock, who's there?" And some silly answer comes up, and I'll bet you a bunch of kids here know answers to that one, and you're surprised. And surprises are an important part of life. And thankfully, as we review our lives, and you who have the gray hair along with me will probably agree with me that most of the surprises in your life have been really pretty, also called blessings, you know? And Christians are blessed with so many surprises. And most of them are really positive and good. You kids who are here, you teenagers who are here, you are in for some surprises. You believe that? You are in for some surprises. You have no idea what surprises are in store for you. If surprises may come tomorrow, or they may come when you start college, you're going to be surprised with the person you marry. You're going to be surprised maybe what college you go to. You're going to be surprised like I was with what in the world degree I was going to have. I started out with pre-med and then took a chemistry course, and that was the end of my pre-med studies. Then I was going to be I love music, and I'm a hobbyist musician, so to speak, but I took a music theory course, and that was too much like math, and I didn't know what to do, and I ended up with this interesting degree of radio and television production. That was a surprise, believe me. But this verse speaks to what I call sovereign surprises. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. It's a verse that is critical for us to understand the big picture of what it means to be a Christian. And even non-Christians deal with God's sovereign surprises, believe me. But Christians especially need to live their lives with a perspective that God is a sovereign surprise God. And I've taken this verse, I like to see this verse in four parts. Now, I'm not sure that Solomon intended this verse to be parsed out this way. He didn't intend this to be a big, deep theological verse, I don't think. He was just making a simple statement that when we make our plans, we usually make them from our heart. You know, especially a big plan. We don't ask our wife to marry us by our arm. It's by our heart. We make decisions based upon our heart. And so I divided this verse into four parts. In his heart, if you're taking notes, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. Just a few thoughts on each of these four parts. In his heart. As I said, Solomon didn't intend this to be a big theological discourse about the heart, but the Bible is full of incredible verses about the heart. Many of you know that there are two sides to man's heart. There's the side that would pine after God. There's the heart of which God said of David, he was a man after my own heart. There's a heart that responds to Jesus Christ, and there's the heart God gives us when we actually had a stony heart. He gives us a fleshy heart. And there's that wonderful new heart that Christians get when they come to Christ. And it's that new heart that changes the world and changes their lives. But then there's that other part. I love it the way, essentially what our confession means when it says there is remaining corruption in us, is that there's kind of a nasty side to our heart, isn't there? Nasty side. And there are verses, Jesus reminds us that out of the heart comes all kinds of negative things. Look at in chapter 15 of Proverbs, if you still got your Bible open there. Just a couple of verses there from Proverbs 15. For example, starting with verse 11, which should be just across the page. Death and destruction lie open before the Lord. How much more the hearts of men? Verse 13. A happy heart makes the face cheerful, but heartache crushes the spirit. There we have a verse with both views of the heart in there. We find in verse 15, all the days of the oppressed are wretched, but the cheerful heart has a continual feast. Proverbs 16:5, the Lord detests the proud of heart. And we could go on. You could take a concordance and see all the wonderful places where it talks about the heart, but you'll always have this two sides to the heart. Much like Romans 7, where Paul says, I do what I don't want to do, and I don't want to do what I should do. In my mind, that's another example of this issue. And you kids, as you grow up, as you make big decisions in the future, waiting for God's surprises, one of the important things you can do is to make sure you're guarding your heart. That your heart matches the Lord's heart. And no matter what pressures are upon you in school and your neighborhood and so on, you want to have a heart that's soft towards God. You want to have a heart that's soft towards His ways and His word. And it's a wonderful thing to see a young person grow up with that kind of an open heart. And God does amazing things with young people like that, who have open hearts. But I think you get the point. The heart is very important. And as we make our plans, I tell young chaplains, I say, now look at, using this verse, I'll say, first of all, make sure your heart matches the Lord's. When you're thinking about the future and you're thinking about maybe going into battle and you're thinking about this or that, I want you to make sure that you are ensuring that your heart matches the Lord's as best you can. The Lord will show you He'll show you ways, and where it doesn't match Him, that's why we have confession of sin in a church to remind us of that parts of our heart. But we start with a heart that is pleasing to the Lord. And then secondly, I would say, then I want you to go ahead and make plans. Scriptures are full of examples of people who have made plans. Jesus came down with a plan, by the way, didn't he? He said, I came to save my sheep. Jesus said, I came to save my people from their sins. And you begin to look at some of the patriarchs in the scripture, and you discover that they had plans on making money, they had plans on building their wealth, they had plans on how they were going to serve, they had plans on building temples, they had plans. The Bible's full of plans. And so I tell Christians, not just chaplains, that when it comes to making plans in life, make them big. Make big plans. You've got a new church facility, which is wonderful, by the way. great singing sanctuary. Yeah, praise the Lord. I imagine you are, after 18 years being in other places, I can imagine you're blessed with this. But you have now some decisions to make on how you're going to use the church, as one of our elders mentioned in Sunday school today. I would just say to you as a church and as individuals, match your heart with the Lord's and then make big plans to change the world. Have you seen this advertisement? And again, it's one of those ads on TV that you forget what the ad is about because the content is so interesting. It's a bunch of little kids being interviewed, and they're talking about what they want to do when they grow up. And they say, when I get big, I want to, and there's some very mundane job. I want to carry out groceries for the rest of my life, something like that. And that's a good job, by the way, for a young person. But they didn't have big plans, that's the point. And I think a lot of Christians get sucked up in this. They forget that there's a power of the Holy Spirit living in them who is there to help us and give us power. And they make little plans to change the world. I hope you as a church think big. I did read the mission statement before I came today, and I really appreciate the depth of it. I even wrote down a couple of things. Especially I appreciate that you included students and planning churches and, of course, missions and prayer, and you had several other items in there that are very, very good. I hope you can maintain that big vision. And if you have a big vision and big plans, it'll keep you from petty things happening in the church. When a person makes plans from the heart, makes big plans, I think God honors that. And oftentimes, He enables us to accomplish those plans. When I was early as a minister, I thought, wouldn't it be cool if someday I could plant a church? I didn't know if I had the gifts for that or not, Cortez. I just didn't know. But I, and some of our men have done it all their lives, planted churches. But I wasn't sure that would ever happen because of where I was and so on. But I remember very specifically one day I got a call from Paul Taylor, who Cortez knows, and he said, Doug, would you be interested in planting a church back in your hometown of Minneapolis? In fact, the Wrights who were here used to worship in that church. 10 years after I started it. And it was wonderful to see that plan come forth. It was wonderful to see God honor a pretty big plan, I thought it was at the time, that to do this. I'm not sure I'd do it again, but that was wonderful that had that experience. But then there's that third part of this verse, my friends. So Christian, match your heart with the Lord's. Make big, bold plans no matter how old you are. I don't know where I found it, Cortez, but there's something about you on Google. And it said something about he didn't want to retire. He retired from his other job, but he wanted to just keep on ministering. I call that a big plan. And I want to, too. I've always respected you so much for that. And I want to keep on doing things until God just takes me home. But no matter how old you are, you can have big plans. I remember when my wife and I knew a lady who has spent her elderly later years in life. She can't do much, but she does two things. She prays, but that she can do. And she writes all kinds of notes to people. All kinds of notes to people, not just chapter, all kinds of folks, just writing notes, blessing notes. I met 2 years ago a 16-year-old girl who was reading The Guardian. Her family was reading The Guardian in their devotions and seeing what chaplains do. She got a real burden and a plan that she needed to write all the chaplains in the PCA or in that guardian. And she's now been writing for 3 or 4 years, writing our chaplains' little notes. Whenever I mention the name Dorothy and our chaplains are around, all of a sudden you should see the smiles on chaplains' faces. 16-year-old just wanted to encourage these chaplains who are serving her country. And she developed a plan, and God honored that. And God honored that. It's exciting, isn't it? And you can think about the blessings God has honored in your own lives up to this point and in your church. But there's that but the Lord. I'll get back to that here. But the Lord. If there's ever a phrase that's kind of a reformed phrase, it's that one. But the Lord. For it leads to that fourth point. But you've got to be ready as a Christian to be prepared for the but the Lord. Another way of saying that would be, if you live your Christian life, you've got to live it with your hands outstretched, don't you? And say, Lord, whatever you have for me, I want to serve you. But many professing Christians keep things tight and hold, and they want their plan to go forth, and they don't want any eruptions in that plan. And if God interrupts it somehow, then you find that there are some Christians who get bitter and discouraged and angry at God. And that's certainly not a biblical spirit. I remember the first time I was really surprised. I was 19 years old. Vietnam was building up. It was 1965. I'm 63. It's 1965. I had a low lottery number. Now, you kids, I wasn't playing the lottery. This was a draft for the military. And they had to figure out a way to make it fair, and so essentially your name's put in a hat, and they pull out your number. Anyone under 100 was going to Vietnam. My number was 55. I was a student at the University of Minnesota, and I thought, well, all right. I wasn't afraid to serve my country. In fact, I was kind of looking forward to that, along with my dad, who did. So I thought, well, if I'm going to go to Vietnam, I might as well become an officer. So I joined ROTC. Anybody in here, ROTC folk in the room here? Okay. Okay, joined ROTC. And you remember, sometime between your sophomore and junior year, maybe you get a scholarship, and they check you out, give you a physical, and they give you some exams, and maybe you get to go on for the fully paid scholarship and so on. I didn't know. I thought, well, great, I'll just do that. So I did everything. And they called me in one day. He said, I'm Cadet Lee. He said, Cadet Lee, I'm sorry to tell you, you can't be in the military. Oh. I remember just being dumbfounded and surprised. And I didn't know it at the time, but but the Lord was starting for me. But the Lord. You know, they said, you have a congenital defect on your fifth lumbar vertebrae. That's lower back, in case you don't know where that is. Some of you know where it is, very specifically. And I'd never had any injuries. No one ever told me, and I was too dumb and green to ask for a second opinion, an x-ray, and a waiver. I've learned since then there are all kinds of waivers in the military. And so I thought, well, okay, you know, I guess that's it for me. I can't be a serviceman. But the Lord was beginning to interfere with my plans, you see, because I had some plans. I made them from my heart, but the Lord was beginning to work there. So now what do I do? Well, that meant I had to stay in school. But there's not time to tell the whole story, but many of you have stories similar to this as you reflect back on some youthful surprises. The next 9 years, I found a wife. She happened to be my childhood sweetheart, but we had broken up for a long time. Got back together. We met in ninth grade. Married my Nancy. And then we spent our honeymoon at a place in Switzerland called La Brie Fellowship. And La Brie, in case you don't know about it, was the place Dr. Schaefer, Francis Schaefer lived there. It was a Christian community. All we knew about it was that it was cheap. And we were newly married, so that sounded good. $2.50 a day for food, if you work half a day and study half a day. We thought, what a great place, what a great way to start a marriage. Little did we know that the but the Lord was beginning to be a more big but than we ever thought. That's not a very good way to say that, but that was a huge thing that was happening to us. We learned that there was this theology that was kind of unusual called Reformed theology. And some of you have read Oz Guinness, and he was there that summer with us teaching us. And all of a sudden, my theological world was becoming undone. Talk about about the Lord and a sovereign surprise. And then we thought, well, maybe we'd be missionaries. My wife and I thought we might be missionaries, but Cortez, I did not want to be a reverend. I thought reverends were irrelevant. I really had never had a good model. So we thought, well, maybe we should get some formal Bible training. So we were surprised to find out that this Schaefer guy was a member of the Reformed Presbyterian Church, and his seminary was Covenant Seminary in St. Louis, Missouri. And so we thought, well, if it's good enough for him, it's good enough for us, although he didn't go there. And he gave us that option, Westminster and Trinity Seminary, because RTS hadn't been going quite yet. All of a sudden, we thought we would go to seminary for a year to get a Master of Arts in Bible. We went there to start there at seminary to get a year's degree, and then we found out there were prerequisites. And but the Lord was getting bigger and bigger and bigger all the time as everything kept on surprising us in this whole quest. And we'd be halfway through that Master of Divinity program, so we thought, well, we'll just stay. I was not a Presbyterian, by the way. I was Pentecostal. And so I had I had serious doubts about infant baptism and some other things. But by the end of that seminary time, I got a literal phone call from a church in Florida that wanted to know if I wanted to be their associate pastor and youth. And by that time, God had surprised me by changing my theology. Now, what if I hadn't been turned down from ROTC? God would have still had some probably neat surprises in there, but I could never have made those plans. I had my plans, but the Lord came along and changed them all. And 9 years later, I was in Seattle. I mean, I eventually got to Seattle, where a friend of mine who was a Vietnam vet said, "Why don't you check out being a reserve chaplain, guard chaplain?" I said, "I can't. I got a problem in my fifth lumbar vertebrae. Can't be in the military." He said, "Well, check it out anyway." And I got another surprise when the National Guard, Steve, didn't take any x-rays before I raised my right hand. And he spent the next almost 31 years as a military chaplain. Now, I know if we had time, some of you would have similar stories to that, of how God interrupted your life. And the "but the Lord" came inserted there, and then you found out that the Lord was determining your steps. He knew that all along, but I was having to learn it by some of these sovereign surprises. I have made many mistakes and have not trusted God's sovereignty over the years many times, but I'll tell you that verse, as I said earlier, has become more precious to me as I look back now and see what He's done, that I might be able to encourage young people and others to continue looking forward, to make big plans. But be prepared. Be prepared. God is determining your steps. Sometimes those determining steps aren't always so positive, and they're not always a blessing like you might like. And again, I would guess in this audience today, some of you have experienced the heartache of some sovereign surprises. This last week, we had a dear seminary friend of mine, and actually a friend from University of Minnesota, visit us. And it was a year ago in May. He was going to church. He was also one of my elders in the Seattle church, but he was going to church with his wife. And you could probably read the paper any day and hear a story similar to this. A drunken, in this case, illegal guy, going 100 miles an hour, weaving through traffic. And they were in a line of cars, and that truck hit their car, laid the right-hand passenger seat, side of the car, just down, and killed his wife instantly. They were mature Christians. And he said to me last week, this was just 2 days ago, he said, "Doug," he says, "you know, of course I have my moments, and I have to deal now with some PTSD, and I'm wrestling with all my feelings and so on." He says, "But I know God was determining our steps and her steps. And I don't know why. But I could have made any number of decisions before that point, like stay behind a bus, leave the park where they're having dinner a little later. Would have completely missed that event." But he says, "I know God is in this." Yeah, we can say that intellectually sometimes, but boy, it's tough to say it when you've experienced it. I remember, I guess it's been 6 years ago now, when one of our granddaughters was born, and she was real lifeless. And we did some research, and they called this being a limp baby. Anyway, discovered that she had spinal muscular atrophy, and she died 13 months later in her home in Alexandria. Let me tell you, I didn't plan on outliving my grandchildren. Didn't plan that. Even from my heart, I never would have planned that. But the Lord determined our steps. Of course, it was devastating to my son and daughter-in-law. They had another child who was well. The one who asked me the joke about the black and white and red all over. Then they had a third child, thinking maybe the statistics would be okay, but the third child has the same disease, and she's now 5. And we didn't plan that one either, but she's alive. And through that child's birth, and many of you know stories of people who've wrestled with disabled children and so on. God's grace has been incredible. We're writing down the stories of how they're provided for in this difficult time, including being able to live in Alexandria, Virginia in a time of recession. You know, just financially, God providing him with wonderful jobs based on his veterans' preference. He has started a space called SMA Space. You can look it up when you go home, smaspace.com. He started a social networking site because parents who have children with SMA had no real way to get solid help from each other. And he's now got 1,600 people on this SMA site, busy, 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 all day long. He's been able, in the midst of all this, to speak to people about these concerns and talk about God's sovereignty, and people just shake their heads, and you get the point. The Lord interrupted their plans. My son, that son, is an outdoorsman, loves the outdoors. He was in a college in Colorado. He was going to be a mountaineering EMT, and he was doing all the kayak stuff, rock climbing stuff, everything. Just, it stopped a cold. He had to quit school and take care of his family. He did not plan that. Sovereign surprise. Yet through it, and we know there are plenty of other verses that direct us in this direction, God is in it. God is in it. I'd love to go on, but it's getting late. And I would just say this, just kind of in conclusion. First of all, if you're a Christian today, is your perspective and attitude one of open arms, no matter what sovereign surprises come your way? Is that you? Would it be said of you someday that you graciously received the but the Lord's in your life? Are you that kind of a person? Are you able to have a cheerful heart? As the Bible says, in spite of the but the Lord's in your life, I hope so. And if you aren't that kind of a person and you find yourself, your anger and bitterness or moroseness or melancholy gets the best of you, boy, I just pray that God might give you that understanding that he's involved in your life. He's intimately there with whatever he brings. Then secondly, I would say to anyone here who might not be a Christian that you might think you've been surprised in life, but you don't know anything about surprise until you get the surprise of grace. Till you get the surprise of Christ's forgiveness. Till you get the surprise of heavenly hope. Till you get the surprise of fellowship with God's people that you never would have had otherwise. It's the surprise of being adopted into a family you don't deserve to be in. It's the surprise of having a stony heart being given a fleshy heart. If you're not a Christian, you're not knowing all those surprises. And then you will be surprised at the end of your day. This could be the day of your salvation. As you think about how you're responding to God's sovereign surprises in your life. I'm talking to non-Christians now. Sovereign surprises in your life. Maybe his words in this one little verse might just strike you as saying, well, I like surprises, but I think I've been liking the wrong kind. Jesus, forgive me. I want your sovereign surprises. From now until I see you in heaven. If you're here, you know who the pastor is and the elders, so maybe you could talk to them if you want to enter into that sovereign surprise world of the holy God that we serve. Let's pray. Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We rejoice in these little verses that you give to people like Solomon, for they point us to greater truths and to incredible bits of information that help us get through life and also look to eternity. Father, may we cherish all the sovereign surprises you bring our way for your glory and for Jesus' sake. Amen.